James Tinsley is managing director at Avascent and looking at the award of the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle by the United States Army. Oshkosh winning that. Jim, thanks very much for your time today. A surprise that of the three bidders, Oshkosh was the winner. Thanks for joining me today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Francis. Frankly, no. All three competitors were highly credible, had been thoroughly vetted by the Army, and were affordable. So we wouldn't have been surprised that any of the competitors were chosen, because it was very much a shootout between highly capable vehicle providers. Oshkosh is known very much for its MATV, which is used right now in some of the same missions that JLTV will use for. They are a highly credible truck manufacturer for the defense space and have vehicles in the medium and heavy vehicle classes as well. So it was not a surprise, although it really could have gone in any direction.
It struck me that the experiential issue was probably what tipped it for Oshkosh. The Army's very explicitly refused to say why they chose Oshkosh, but as you say, they know how to build this type of vehicle, at least, even though nobody's ever built anything quite like the JLTV before. Is it possible that that is what tipped it for Oshkosh, the fact that they already do this kind of thing, even if they don't do the exact vehicle?
It's standard operating procedure for the Army to be so tight-lipped at this point until they can formally and properly debrief all parties. That's part of the process of avoiding protest. But from the perspective of the credibility of Oshkosh, there were essentially two major decision factors here, vehicle performance and price. Oshkosh was able to likely justify that they understood how to build this class of vehicle, that they were going to be more credible in providing a vehicle with that type of performance, and they understood what the government wanted to pay for that. And in the end, the combination of those two made them a very credible bidder for this and earned them the win.
Is this a big enough deal for the competitors who didn't win, Lockheed Martin and AM General, that they are looking at protests? We see some very guarded remarks by the leaders of both of those companies, and it appears that they're not ruling it out, but they're also not saying they are. I suppose a lot depends on what those debriefings sound like and what kind of information each company is able to glean from them.
Absolutely. You have to have a reason to protest. But public companies like Lockheed Martin feel a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders to test the decisions made by the government. And a company like AM General, with so much to lose in this case, as JLTV is replacing the Humvee in service, really has almost nothing to lose. So it is not surprising that both are considering protests, and it is becoming a standard approach for most companies in a loss of this magnitude.
The comments that those companies have made, is it too early to be able to handicap them, and is it just a wait and see once those debriefs are completed, or do have the leaders of AM General and Lockheed maybe tip their hands a little bit that we could expect a protest in this procurement?
Again, I think many people, apart from the comments by Army leadership, are expecting a protest due to just the size and the importance of this bid for the industrial base. However, the responses are very much par for the course in this case. There are no surprises in what people said. The spokesmen were measured and professional in their comments until they hear the debriefing. So I don't think there's anything to interpret in those comments at this point, but I think there wasn't anyone who was waiting for this decision that did not expect a protest to take place. Again, they'll have to wait for the debriefings to figure out, you know, what means or on what basis they're going to make those arguments.
Lockheed has a supporter in Congress, well, at least one, on this project. Senator Tom Cotton, according to Defense News, said he was disappointed in the decision and indicated a willingness to use political pressure to wrestle the award away if Lockheed seeks to protest it. And Senator Cotton's comments, of course, talked about the value of this procurement to constituents of his in Arkansas. Is that typical in something like this, that a member of Congress jumps in so quickly after the award of a big procurement like this? I don't recall any comments like that around any recent huge procurements.
Normally, those comments would be reserved for as the protest emerges and as the basis for the protest might come out publicly, that they would argue that they're going to make sure that those means are pursued. But I understand that, politicians feel an obligation to do what they can for their constituents. And this was an extremely important for jobs in Camden, Arkansas. Lockheed had moved and expanded a major production facility there to accommodate this and had gotten very much a good deal of state support. But it's also very important for jobs in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. They may not have the same political backing that a large company like Lockheed Martin has. But when you think about the interest of the politicians involved, I guess I'm not that surprised. I do find it a little odd in terms of the ferocity of it and the recency of it and how fast it happened after the decision. But, you know, I think it just tells you that there was a lot of passion around this contract and that Lockheed Martin had been confident that they could be the winner, which, again, it's not a surprise that they lost, but it wouldn't have been a surprise if they won.
I imagine that Senator Cotton will find himself getting visits from Senators Baldwin and Johnson or calls in the not-too-distant future, both of those representing the state of Wisconsin. Jim Tinsley is Managing Director of Avascent and looking at the award of the JLTV by the Army. It's a $30 billion contract, potentially, over the next 25 years. The Army will start to equip used vehicles in fiscal 2018, and its acquisition will be complete in 2040. The Marine Corps will start its buy as soon as they're available and will finish its buy in fiscal 2022, according to Defense News. Jim, the possibility that this could impact the overall business models for each of these three companies has been something under discussion for quite a period of time. Now that we know at least that the award has gone to Oshkosh and we've talked about the possibility of protests, but for now, this of course is a big win for Oshkosh. Is it a terrible loss for Lockheed and for AM General? We'll start with Lockheed. It doesn't strike me that losing this deal, even though it's big, is a be-all and end-all for them.
No, Lockheed Martin has recognized in investor calls that this, as they characterized it, was a tough putt for them. Moving into the vehicle market and trying to unseat a whole set of incumbents, which they've done very successfully in earlier phases of the program, but were unable to do here. In terms of the overall impact on their portfolio, Lockheed is the largest defense contractor in the world. That this is, I don't say it's a blip for the people that were involved in the bid, but in terms of the overall corporate performance, that you're not going to see much of an impact. When it comes to AM General, although they have denied that this is a significant loss and that they have been moving into diversifying and still have Humvee revenue, which they certainly will, we consider this a devastating loss for them. If they had been able to retain the light tactical vehicle fleet and the replacement for the Humvee, they could have better managed how the DoD procured both those fleets and created a very strong portfolio. But at this point, barring any action that comes of a protest or other means, it is a devastating loss for them.
It's not such a loss, though. It doesn't sound like that it would put them out of business. This, I read, will replace a third of the Army's Humvee fleet. That means the Army will continue to use two-thirds of its Humvee fleet. And so that's still a significant chain of business for AM General, even though this is a big loss.
It is. And they've been diversifying into commercial fleets and doing more work in that area. However, when you think about essentially owning the future vehicle as opposed to owning the vehicle that's largely being replaced and the potential for JLTV to expand to replace more Humvees, much as Humvee did for the Jeep fleet before it, I think I would be very worried if I was on the AM General side about counting on the Humvee fleet's sustainment forever within my portfolio.